Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and you're listening to the Small Business Network, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Kate Kelly is here, too. Kate's a friend of ours and a member of our Brain Trust. She's a business consultant. She does a lot of writing on topics that are of interest to you and me, including her newest book, which she has written a number of books, but her newest one is called, and this is the newly revised edition, too, by the way, folks, How to Set Your Fees and Get Them. And for those of us who get paid by fees, and there are a lot of people out there, more and more every day, who are doing this. This is a very important topic. Kate Kelly, welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
It's good to have you back.
Yeah, I'm delighted to be here.
Kate, the unemployment rate has been gradually going down, but it seems to me at a rate that doesn't correspond to the number of jobs that are being created. And that tells me more and more people are starting their own businesses. And knowing a little bit about that, that also tells me that many of those people are starting businesses wherein they charge for their personal services. Would you agree with that assessment?
I think that's right. And it's a wonderful avenue to pursue. And in a lot of cases, they will have been a graphic artist in a company. And then either because they decided to leave or because the company was downsizing, they'll start their own business. And they can do that, or they may have some sort of, you know, side interest where they'd always wanted to do a certain type of consulting, and they get that experience they need through volunteer work, but then they reach that point where they need to start making money and charging a fee for their services.
Well, my son got married over the weekend.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. I'm really proud of that. And as I thought about our topic today, I thought about all the different people who participated in that wedding and who got a fee for what they did. And obviously they should be paid for that. But the contribution they made, I mean, never mind the caterers, they brought food, and we all know we got to pay for food. But something that's a little bit, that people have less of an appreciation for is our time and our talent. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. And a wedding is a great example of that, because you've got so many people up and down the line who've got to be paid. And a lot of families turn to wedding planners for scoping out the overall party itself, and that fee alone can be considerable, but there's a lot of time and a lot of experience needed to put together a successful wedding.
Well, this wasn't a big soiree, but it was,
okay.
You know, it was more than a small one, but it wasn't a huge, but there still was, you know, there was an organist, there was a singer, there were the people who decorated the church, and you got, you know, all the different things that were involved, people who contributed their time and their talents. And somebody had to write a check to each one of those, but somebody had to establish what those service providers had to establish what their time and their talents were worth. And then, something that I know you work on, then they had to collect the money.
Exactly. And actually, I do a lot of speaking to wedding planners, because that is a big industry that uses my book, actually. And the people who are always the most impassioned about the problem with it are the makeup artists, because they say, we're the last service that the bride uses. And as a result, we're the end of the line, so the family is least excited about opening up their pocket. And it's the most difficult to get your payment, too, simply because it's like it's in the flurry of the wedding. Mm-hmm. And in a circumstance like that, you need to, you know, it is important kind of where you come in on a job, whether you're working for a corporation or whether you're, you know, working for a family in some sort of wedding circumstances.
Right.
But one obvious solution to that is to insist on payment in advance. You know, with a makeup artist, it's going to be very hectic at the time of the wedding, and I'd like to receive a check as I come in the door that day if they're uncomfortable with paying you in advance. But, and you know, basically you don't do the work until you have the check in hand, and that's a hard line to draw, but it's also a very necessary one, because your time is worth something and you need to be paid for it.
Well, I want to stick with this wedding thing again, if no for no other reason, Kate, than to convince my critics that I am capable of being in touch with my feminine side. And okay. And so sometimes it seems to me also that people who do that, provide those kinds of services, might actually deal with more than one person, and it might not be completely clear who's going to be whipping out the checkbook.
That's a really interesting point. And again, this happens in corporations, too, in the sense that you may have a vice president who's running the project, but the director is the one who keeps giving you all the information.
That's
and
right.
How are you going to decide who you are supposed to please? If you've got a mother of the bride and a bride who are both seeing things a little differently, to whom are you supposed to answer, and what do you do about the groom? You know, is he ever allowed an opinion? Mm-hmm. And I think in a circumstance
usually, I think I can answer that for you, Kate.
And what is the answer?
The answer is no. The answer is, this is the day you show up, here's what you wear, and shut up and go sit down now.
Every now and then you have the guy who really actually gets involved, though. So it can be important for the, in a case like that, for example, with a wedding planner, if it's really looking murky as to who you're supposed to listen to, I do think it's in order to sit down and say, you know, this is a major event and I want to do everything I can to make it a success for you, but we need to have family agreement before, you know, so-and-so calls me with instruction, and I'm happy to help you
right.
discuss the options, and I'm happy to help you evaluate the circumstances, but one person needs to be in charge of the decision-making for me to implement that. Because if I go off and order flowers from XYZ company
right.
and somebody suddenly decides we were supposed to be using ABC, the deposit may already have been given to XYZ company, and it's too late.
The people that I worry about, Kate, are the people who are fairly new to the business, to the marketplace, and for their own account, and they're so happy to get somebody to say they'll do business with them that they're almost afraid to ask for any money right now. And they're not really good at putting it, you know, at asking for it anyway, asking for the money anyway. And they wind up, you know, being put off too long. They need the cash, and it winds up hurting them. And sometimes maybe they don't even get paid.
Yes, except remember, when you're really getting started in your business, you can afford to work for free just for the experience and getting your name around. For example, maybe you want to be the person who puts together the wedding cape or something. You know, you're going to do your first one or two samples for free to get the buzz going. That's your investment in yourself. Now, you might get your expenses covered, for example. Then,
right. Then
the dilemma is, if you charge, you know, $500 for some part of the service, and word begins to get around. Do you need to take a break?
Go ahead. Go ahead. Finish your thought.
$500. Then the word gets around, oh, she'll do it for $500.
That's right.
The dilemma. That,
yeah.
When word travels that's what your price is.
And folks, I've got to start talking football or something here in a minute. So when we come back, guys, we're gonna change this over and talk about, maybe we'll talk about planning a Super Bowl party or something. We're going to do that with our good friend Kate Kelly right after these messages. Stay with us. Back, it's 23 after. I'm Jim Blassingame. The Small Business Advocate, Kate Kelly, is our guest. She's the author of How to Set Your Fees and Get Them. Kate, tell us where your book's available, please.
You know, the best place to go is on Amazon, or go directly to my website at www.katekelly.com.
All right.
And the BNN.com website also has it.
All right, BNN, Barnes & Noble.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Now, what else will we find at your website?
A total listing of all the books that I've done, including some excerpts. And the fees book also has an excerpt that's posted there. So if they click through to what the button that's called, labeled Timely Information, they'll actually get a small chapter of each
right.
of the books that I've done.
Okay, and it's Kate Kelly, no extra E, just one E in the middle there.
That's right.
KateKelly.com. Okay, now let's get off the wedding thing. That was about as much as I could do on the wedding thing there, Kate.
It's a painful subject.
Yeah, let's talk about professional services, like I should say business consulting type services. A lot of people, I think, are afraid to charge enough, and there is a price point out there with which they to beyond which they can't go, but if they go too far below it, they're underpricing themselves. It's really hard for, especially for new people, isn't it, to know how much to charge.
Yes, it is. And actually, the book has a great strategy for that. And that is, if you really are in the dark as to where you think this is going, the price point is in terms of a company paying you, one possibility is to offer them three options: option A, option B, and option C. Now, if you're just starting out, you basically, if A is the deluxe version of your services, mm-hmm. you basically want to give them an A package, but you may have to do it for a C price. But if you've stated that it's the C price and that it's the C package, at least you've left yourself room for moving up to the more complete thing. And, you know, of course, take it, you know, like if you're some sort of a, you know, personnel consultant, then take away some small part of the service, but you're going to give them the full nine yards just because you really want to impress them so that they'll come back for more work. But the option system does offer a company an alternative, and it offers you a way to continue to get the job at a time that it can be very important to get the job without having to lower your price, because you don't want to call, you don't want to give out a price.
And you know,
and
Kate,
then have to call them back and say, oh, I changed my mind, I'll do it for less.
Yeah, no, you're right about that. You know, Kate, another thing is everybody likes exclusivity, but exclusivity costs money.
Right.
And I always use that as to my advantage, and I would just tell my clients when I was a full-time consultant years ago is that, you know, if this is my fee, and for that you're getting my exclusivity for your industry. I will work with nobody else in your industry who might be a competitor, for example. And as it turned out, in my case, it was what I wanted to do anyway because of the kind of services I was providing. I couldn't serve two masters. But they liked knowing that they were getting that, and they didn't mind paying the extra.
Exactly. And that's an important thing to remember, too, is that when you present your fee, you also want to back it up with something in writing that explains exactly what your services are. Because if they met with you 10 days ago, and then you've gotten back to them, Or even less than that, let's say 24 hours ago, and they've had three meetings since that time, they can't remember to
right.
tell their boss
That's exactly right.
all the things you're going to do. So you need to outline, and even the most basic service that anybody would assume you would do, write it down as something that you're offering, because that reminds them of all the benefits of working for you, and it also helps them justify your fee when they have to go, you know, to the next level up to get the money.
And if you have to, if you are dealing with the ultimate decision maker, the ultimate owner, so to speak, you better get that in writing, because people come and go. They, as you said earlier, they forget what was said, or they get themselves into a bind, and it's easier to roll you to, you know, roll you to the curb than it is to lose their own job.
Absolutely.
You got to get that in writing if you're in a situation like that. But you know, people also like value added, don't they?
They like to get a little
bit of extra for their money.
Yes, absolutely. And the exclusivity is an excellent example of that.
Right. What are some other things that we need to know? Talk to us about making sure that when we set our fees and we get the work, that we get paid.
The main thing is to establish some sort of a fee system where it's staged. Some money up front, some point at a defined midpoint, and then a final payment at the end. I've also, in interviewing for the book, I heard stories of consultants where, you know, they'd set up some sort of a monthly system, and they knew that, you know, they were working for an organization that wasn't that financially healthy. And so one of the things they built into their time was going in on the first Monday of every month and sitting in the accounting office until a check was cut for them.
Yep.
And that's okay. It's okay to work with somebody who's struggling, mm-hmm. and it's okay to devote the time to going in and sitting and waiting for your check if you've built in the fact that that's part of the job and that you want to continue to work with them. You know, sometimes you just have to do some of the, you know, less normal ways of collecting, and you do always want to generate an invoice. You know, I work with writers who think, oh, don't they know how much they owe me? Well, even if they know how much, send them something that can be processed. Send them a piece of paper that can be processed.
What you got to do is you got to work in their system. But what I always said was, you pay me once a month, but I don't want to become part of your payables, meaning you pay me in 30 days after I do the work. In other words, whatever I do this month, I want to get paid the first of next month. And I made that clear, and they did it, and my clients did that.
That was great, and obviously you were successful.
Yeah, I was successful in doing that, but you got to make it clear, folks. But don't bill them more than once a month. I think that's a mistake consultants make. Kate Kelly, thank you for being here. Will you come back another day?
Absolutely.
We'd love to have you back. Kate Kelly, and that's katekelly.com. The book is How to Set Your Fees and Get Them, and you can find that at her website. Got to go. Quick break. I'll be right back with Stu Elefant We're going to talk about wireless security. The show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.